Early good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 6th of June, 2020 is a Sunday class. So we will be starting from a new book. This is the seminar book that I wrote in the year 2013. And I was invited to this international seminar on life management with meditation experience. And success. So this is a very good book. I will read to you the introduction later on so that you understand. Because this international seminar on life management and meditation experience and success dated 10 to 12 August 2013 held in Bangkok, Thailand, was co-organized by the World Buddhist University, WBU, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, WFB, and Pipalivanarang Mindfulness Center, PMC, and I was invited to present a paper at the said seminar as a Malaysian speaker. So this is what the paper is, Success in Life via Meditation, Following the Dhamma Way. This is a seminar paper that I delivered in the year 2013. So I will go to the introduction so that you can understand. So this book is available on our Kayamita BrotherTeo.com website, BroTeo website. So you can go in, look under publication, and you can actually see this book. This book is a very good book. So I will read to you the introduction behind this international seminar on life management with meditation experiences and success dated 10 to 12 August 2013 held in Bangkok, Thailand, was co-organized by the World Buddhist University, WBU, the World Fellowships of Buddhists, WFB, and the Pipalivanarang Mindfulness Center, PMC. And Brad Teo was invited to present a seminar paper at the said seminar as a Malaysian lay speaker. Basing on some very good feedback and suggestion from seminar participants and Kayanamitas who had the condition to listen to my seminar speech, and also those who later received my international seminar papers reprinted notes. Brother Teo had finally agreed to allow his international seminar paper to be reprinted as a booklet form for free distribution to all those who are interested and has the affinity to receive it. It is Brother Teo's sincere hope and intention that Dhamma friends, practitioners, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, cultivators, free thinkers, and devotees will be able to make use of this Dhamma presented in this international seminar of his to develop a better understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings. That can be a blessing to all. Then we go on to the acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intent that this seminar papers booklet be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayamitas who have donated and help out in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Parmasuri, Brother Teo, Sister Ng B, and Eleanor for their kind assistance and important contribution in various ways to enable this Dhamma booklet to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and danger. And may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends, Kayamita, who have donated or helped out in one way or another, to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations as soon as possible with metta, the deal. So we will now go to the table of content. After introduction, we have the acknowledgement, which we have covered, then opening statement and introduction to the topic. This opening statement and introduction to the topic is very important. Then the main essence is to develop the understanding of life, its meaning and purpose following the Dhamma way. Then item 3 is emphasizing on the importance of mindfulness or present moment awareness. Then point number four is understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. They are the scientific law and the spiritual laws. Then section number 5 is meaning and purpose of life. Section 6 is the two important aspects of life, means mundane and super mundane. And finally is the conclusion. Okay, we go on to the seminar proper. International Seminar on Life Management with Meditation, Experience and Success, co-organized by the World Buddhist University, the PBU, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, WFB, and the Pipa Livarana Mindfulness Center, PMC. Title of my seminar paper is Success in Life via Meditation, Following the Dhamma Way, by a Malaysian speaker, engineer, Teo Kien Kun. Okay, opening statement and introduction to the topic. So I'll read to you as how I address the various important people at the seminar. Dear Mr. President, distinguished guests, fellow honorable panel speakers, seminar participants, ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all. It's indeed an honor to be given the opportunity to share my humble little experience on success in life management via meditation with all of you on such an appropriate occasion such as today's international seminar. Today's seminar topic is experiences and success in life management via benefits of meditation following the Dhamma way. And this is a very important topic for us all to understand if we want to realize our highest human potential. Such a seminar can be of great benefit for us to develop the understanding of life so that we can all cope with the great intricacies and challenges of life that are much needed nowadays, especially so in our today's modern society, where everything is moving at such a fast pace and life can be very stressful, hectic, demanding, and at times highly competitive, provocative, and seemingly harsh too. Human sufferings are very real, and it is happening almost everywhere. It's also happening even to our youngsters nowadays. Section 2, understanding life is meaning and purpose following the Dhamma way. To be successful in life or life management, we need to understand what life is. Otherwise, we do not know how to live life. As a Buddhist, or as Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate and blessed because of the great wisdom and enlightenment of Lord Buddha. The Buddha is so unique and wise because he was able to summarize for us all of his understanding of life, both the mundane and supramundane aspect, into just 4 noble truths, which became the essence of his great teaching. They are called noble or Aryan truth, because these are truths that can make you a noble one if you can understand them. And noble ones are enlightened ones, and they are very noble in all aspects of their life. They are very noble in their understanding of life, for they have right view with regards to the laws that governs life and existence. They are also very noble in the way they conduct themselves via their right thought, right speech, and right action, including right livelihood or right living, which means they are incapable of negativities. These four noble truths are so special and unique because understanding them can make such a big difference to our life. It is just like we have finally understood the secret of life. And because of that, we will know how to truly live the noble life of great peace, love, joy, and happiness very meaningfully. The Buddha realized that there are certain rather harsh realities in life that can make living being really miserable, especially the reality of birth and death, leading to the whole mess of suffering. He said there is a first noble truth of dukkha or suffering that explains clearly to us the prevalence of suffering in this world caused by the eight realities of life and existence that all living beings, if they live long enough, will have to confront while going through life, irrespective of your wealth, your status, or materialistic success in life. One will still suffer if one had not developed the requisite spiritual understanding before confronting them. These eight types of four first noble truth reality are birth, old age, sickness, and death. These four are dukkha. Separation from loved one and one's possession, like your wealth, your property, possession, and those things that you hold on to dearly, etc., is also suffering or dukkha. Then to be with people whom we don't like can also lead to misery, suffering, and dukkha. Then not able to get what one desires, or when things don't go your way, or when our expectations in life are not met, can also lead to suffering or dukkha. And finally, the Buddha said, in short, he summarized, the five aggregates of grasping, born of Sakkaya Ditti or self-delusion, is dukkha. When one confronts this reality without the requisite wisdom, then one will be afflicted and suffering like sorrow, lamentation, anger, fear, worry, anxiety, etc., leading to depression will be the end result. In our modern day terminology, we call them the problems of life, like health problem. Health problem can mean having those traumatic diseases like cancer, heart attack, HIV, stroke, kidney failure, etc., or sudden death due to accident, traumatic disease, and nature's disaster like tsunami, earthquake, flood, building collapse, etc. Then there is also this career-related problem or stress and sexual harassment problem when you are with people whom you don't like, and financial problem when you cannot get what you want. Then there is also this relationship problem leading to divorce, forced separation, etc. Social and crime-related problems are also very common. This happens when you are with people whom you don't like, etc. The younger generation can relate to this terminology better. Then according to Lord Buddha, there is this second noble truth that explain to us clearly the cause behind all this suffering. The Buddha said, it is mainly due to craving born of our self-delusion or Sakkaya Ditti. When we have understood what suffering is and the cause behind their arising, we will know how to retrospectively manage our life better. But the Buddha did not stop there, for he then proceeded to tell us that suffering may not be, because there is a third noble truth that confirms the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now. leading to the enlightenment, leading to the cessation of all suffering. And this is most reassuring. The Buddha not only tells us that enlightenment is possible, but he even explained to us clearly how it can be done via his fourth noble truth. He said there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the ultimate aim of all Buddhist cultivation. This means this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation and solution to all of our life's problems. So there is a way to free and to liberate our mind from all suffering. This is what most of us will be very interested in. With this Dhamma understanding, we need not worry about life anymore. We can just live life to the fullest. We are wisdom born of Dhamma cultivation and the meditation as taught by our Lord Buddha. We can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment. We have a serene mind in heedfulness. I was indeed very blessed and lucky because this Buddhist teachings and meditation with its great benefit had helped me so much, not only in my study, but later in my career and daily life too. The benefits of this style of meditation are many. The first obvious benefit is inner peace leading to inner well-being of body and mind. Nowadays, peace is very difficult to come by. For most people, unless they know how to train their mind, in time of suffering, like having fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, etc., born of hell or other life-related problem, this meditative inner peace leading to inner well-being can really help to provide immediate temporary relief to their mental suffering, because this inner peace leading to the inner well-being is a very positive calming energy that can help us stabilize our mind and boost our immune system, as opposed to the rather negative energy of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation leading to sadness. The question is frequently asked, why are most human beings not peaceful most of the time? Why are they not able to meditate, to develop the meditative mind of inner peace leading to inner well-being? According to Lord Buddha, it is because of the five mental hindrances of mind, pancha nivaranas, namely sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. To overcome them, the Buddha said, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties of pancha indriyas, of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Panya is wisdom born of the direct seeing. This is how we start our meditation. We are cultivating the five spiritual faculties to prepare our mind to receive his great spiritual teaching. Also, the Buddha's exhortation before his parinibbana to all his disciples to strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless or apamadena sampadeta. This is then followed by Dhammapada verse 21 that states, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Which also stresses the importance of training the mind to be heedful. To be heedful is to be ever mindful and to be constantly meditative, following Dhammapada verse 23. That is precisely the reason why Buddhist meditation is also termed mindfulness or heedfulness meditation, referring to the four foundations of mindfulness, namely kaya nupassana, vedana nupassana, citta nupassana, and dhamma nupassana in particular. First, we must train the mind to be silent with inner awareness so that it can be mindful from moment to moment while living our daily life. to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the heedfulness needed to understand life. This mindfulness and heedfulness will allow you to see clearly how your five aggregates of form and mind arise in you, how thought and feelings arise in you with every moment of sense experience and sense or consciousness, and how they condition each other. That is, how your thoughts condition your feelings, then feeling condition your emotion or craving due to your wrong view or wrong thought to grasp and cling onto the external phenomenal world created by your aggregates of mind. This is heedless living, leading to all the suffering following the Dhammapadavas one. Whereas the heedful side of mind, which is also your true mind, your meditative mind, is with inner awareness, will bring about the inner peace and inner well-being of body and mind, as opposed to the heedless mind that is full of thoughts, fear, worry, anxiety, conditioned by the mental hindrance, leading to the agitated and restless mind that is never peaceful. With this inner awareness, inner peace and inner well-being, there is clarity of mind that can enable us to see things as they are, leading to penetrative insight and wisdom needed for us to truly understand life. This meditative wisdom can also lead to enlightenment in the here and now, thereby enabling us to live the noble life that is free of all mental suffering and misery. Once the mind is liberated and no longer deluded, then life takes a turn and becomes not only very meaningful, but also very wonderful and beautiful indeed. One can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment with full clarity of mind to truly live life to the fullest. This is heedful living following Dhammapadavas too, as opposed to heedless living that leads to all the suffering and misery in life following Dhammapadavas 1. Suffering are all mind-made. If mind does not deludedly cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind as the me and the I and the mind, then there will be no more suffering. Clarity of mind can also allow us to make better decisions in life, thereby enabling us to resolve issues or problems wisely and amicably. One can also concentrate and study better and have good and easy sleep, no more problem with insomnia or sleep-related issue. It can also allow us to plan and do our work more efficiently, thereby helping us in our career life. With all this benefit, we can really be a blessing to all. Our daily life will be very different because the mind is always heedful and peaceful. This will bring us to the understanding of another very important aspect of living life, importance of sati or mindfulness of present moment awareness. As we all understand, life can be correlated to existence. To live life is to go through existence, and existence is time related. The whole spectrum of time can be defined and divided into the three periods of past, present and future. Of these three, we should inquire deep into them, find out ourselves which one of them is the reality of life. Obviously, the past is already gone, so no more reality. Similarly, future yet to come, so is also not a reality. Hence, only the present moment, which is the highest in life, is the only reality within existence. This is also the reason why people nowadays emphasize a lot on the power of now. Even Eckhart Tolle wrote a book on it, and it had become a bestseller for many years. Therefore, the most important question about life that we all need to inquire deeply is, moment to moment life passes by, and this is the only reality in life. Then what are you doing within each and every one of these moments? So you must inquire deep into life. This question of life, moment to moment life passes by, and this is the only reality. Then what are you doing within each and every one of these moments? Remember the Buddha tell us, remember the Buddha always tell the bhikkhu, be heedful, be vigilant. Because if you are not heedful, then you are as if dead, following Dhammapada verse 21. That is spiritually dead. Our mind and our thoughts move so fast with every moment of sense or consciousness. And if we are not mindful and heedful within the moment, then how can we cope with life? Most of us may know that the moment is the only reality and very important. But the question is, are we mindful of the moment? The problem with the world today is most human beings are heedless and they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, so much so they totally miss out on life. For they never really live. They only existed through life. That is, they are conscious of life, but they are not mindful within or mindfully living life with inner awareness. Their mind is always preoccupied with the thinking and the thought process, which always delude them to cling on to the phenomenal world as very real. Their thought will project into the future to arise fear, worry, anxiety, hence creating a false reality for them to cling on to. Likewise, the mind also will recall the hurtful and unhappy past or scars of memory to remind them of their scars of memory, hence triggering off the unhappy mind, leading to sorrow and lamentation of the unhappy past. Not able to see the phenomenal world's three universal characteristics of nature, namely anicca or impermanent, dukkha or suffering, and anatta or non-self, an empty nature, they will continue to hold and cling, and this is the cause of all their suffering and life's problem. Why can't they just silence their mind in heedfulness to be with the moment, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life? Just like the Zen saying, drinking a cup of Chinese tea is Zazen or Zen meditation. Because within that moment, there is just a pure awareness or mindfulness of the reality in the here and the now. And there is no thought. So there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, or whatever reality. But just the silent mind in peace and stillness to live, to be sensitive, and to experience all of the wonderful moments with clarity of mind and body, instead of worrying about life. Why do we need to worry about life? Because of fear, right? Even if you worry, you are not going to solve, it's not going to solve your problem. It will instead create more thinking indeed, leading to more fear and restlessness of mind. And as long as you are not mindful, this heedless thinking will continue to create more delusion in you, because you do not have the wise attention or yonisomanasikara at the moment of sense experience. That is precisely the reason why we need to train our mind to be heedful, so that it is constantly meditative and ever mindful to insight into truth, which is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Truth or the characteristics of nature are everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. even though the present moment is the highest in life. But in order to transcend life, which is to transcend birth and death, we need to transcend even the present moment to realize the timeless Dhamma, Kaliko, which is beyond thought and beyond time. This is the ultimate goal of all Buddhist meditation. And understanding the Nietzsche's law that governs life and existence. To be successful in life management, we need to understand another very important aspect of life. That is the Nietzsche's law that governs life and existence. According to Lord Buddha, this universe of ours is very unique. First, there is nature. And then there are Nietzsche's law that governs life and existence within this universe of ours. He calls it the Panchaniyamas, or universal order of nature. The first two Nietzsche's law are scientific law called Uttuniyama, which is nature's physical law, and Bijaniyama, which is nature's biological order. And these are scientific law, whereas the other three are spiritual law. It is via clearly understanding these two great scientific law of Uttuniyama and Bijaniyama that scientists are able to progress so fast within the field of science and technology to become so advanced today. Nature's physical law governs the behavior of all physical things. They are related to the law of physics and chemistry, etc. That the scientists have developed good understanding. Then Bijaniyama is nature's biological order that governs the behavior of all organic and biological things within the field of biology, genetic engineering, etc. Like our human body, the plants, the animal, the fishes, etc. Their behavior are governed by this biological order of Bijaniyama, this law. And 4.2, we will go into the spiritual laws. The next three are spiritual law, namely Kamaniyama, or law of karma, Chittaniyama, or law of mind, and Dhammaniyama, or law of Dhamma, or truth, as taught by the Buddha. So similarly, we are clearly understanding these three great spiritual law of karma, mind, and Dhamma. The Buddha was able to excel himself in the spiritual field, to understand life so clearly and so completely, thus becoming the Sammasambuddha, or fully enlightened one. It was through his perfection of understanding of these three great spiritual law that enabled him to proclaim the Dhamma that he had taught us. Take for example the first spiritual law of karma, or Kamaniyama, as the first right view to understand life. In the five daily contemplation as taught by the Buddha, the Buddha said we must contemplate daily the following: that this body of ours is of the nature to decay and grow old, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. That this body of ours is of the nature to get sick and be diseased, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. That this body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death. All that is mine, beloved and pleasing, will change and vanish, following nature's law. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are all what we are because of our karma. The first four contemplations allow us to develop the contemplative wisdom to deal with most of the first noble truth realities of life and existence, whereas the fifth contemplation deals with the first right view with regards to the law of karma. So karma, which is moral causation, is most important because we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of it. We have that right understanding as our first right view. Then what must we do? We must, of course, take care of our karma, right? How do we do that? We must train our mind to be ever mindful and heedful via meditation to enable us to see all of our mental intention or chitana behind all our actions, speech and thought process, thereby enabling us to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness, to accumulate good merits and good karmic conditioning. and meditate to develop the requisite wisdom so as not to be deluded anymore. These are precisely the advice of the Buddha as stated in his famous Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyodhapanang etang buddhana sasana. The English translation is, all evil is to be avoided. Cultivate goodness and wholesomeness that purify your mind, and these are the advice of all Buddhas. Then the next inquiry is, how do we avoid all evil? The Buddha recommends keeping the minimum 5 precepts because people who violate these precepts are evil people with the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. How to cultivate goodness and blessing? The Buddha recommends cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path factor of right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right living or right livelihood. So this is how the Buddha's subsequent teaching comes about. And through this understanding, one will be able to understand the secret of life, thus enabling one to truly live life meaningfully. Then there is also Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 that talks about happiness and suffering in life. This can be elaborated upon if time permits. Then we have the second spiritual law of law of Citta Niyama, which is nature's law that governs the working of the mind. Under this second spiritual law of nature, the Buddha taught us Paticca Samuppada, or the law of dependent origination, he called it the 12 links. The Buddha said everything that arises is all dependent originating, and that there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity or a soul or an atta that is responsible for our thinking, seeing, hearing, etc. For in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness and there is no one to see. And all of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they are all conditioned arising or causal phenomena following nature's law. And because of that, they are all impermanent. For dependent on condition, they arise. And they will continue to exist if their supporting conditions are still there. But they will cease to be once any of the conditions that supports their arising cease to be. And because they are impermanent, following nature's law, you cannot want things your way, otherwise suffering will be the end result. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that we can hold on to or cling on to, as the I and the me, hence anatta or non-self nature of this so-called human being of 5 aggregates of form and mind or awareness. If we cling and hold on to them, then the Buddha called it self-delusion or sakkayadity, a very serious self-delusion or wrong view. The third spiritual law is Dhamma Niyama, which are the essential Dhamma or truth that the Buddha taught. And the most important one is the four number two, which are the essence of his teaching that we have already covered earlier on. Then we move on to the next topic. After understanding his teaching, we will understand life. That's why we now go into the detail of understanding life, its meaning and purpose. Once we have understood the nature's law that governs life and existence, then we will know how to prepare ourselves to live our life meaningfully. Without this understanding, we cannot contemplate its true meaning and purpose. To different people, life are very different. Life has different meaning and purpose. Hence, it varies from person to person. But as a Buddhist, we are indeed much more fortunate, because the Buddha was able to explain to us the secret of life via his enlightenment. The other reason being, they don't quite understand life like us, because they don't have the Four Noble Truth teachings. For someone who is quite poor, the meaning and purpose of life is just the 3 meals or food and shelter over their head, following Maslow's need hierarchy. But for us, as Buddhists, we will go deep into life to pursue the sole purpose of liberation from birth and death, or seek enlightenment in the here and the now, so that all suffering can cease, leading to the noble life of a noble one, because we understand the dangers of delusion and ignorance leading to heedlessness. Then the two important aspects of life. There are two very important aspects of life. First, there is the mundane or materialistic aspect of life within the existential or conditioned world, followed by the supramundane or spiritual aspect of life that can be realized only after gaining the enlightenment. Most people are only concerned with the mundane aspect of life because to them, this is more important, means materialistic success. Not knowing that without the spiritual understanding, life is still incomplete and suffering can still arise despite the materialistic wealth and successes. This was clearly explained by the Buddha in his proclamation of the First Noble Truth, where he talked about the eight realities of life and existence that can lead to suffering and misery if one were to confront them without the requisite wisdom. This was also precisely the reason why the Buddha to be then left the palace in search for the truth to liberate himself from the three signs of old age, sickness and death that he saw prior to his renunciation then. Then as a summary, materialistic success within the mundane life normally refers to the first one is academic excellence or success when we are young, means we excel in our academic training, means we develop academic excellence. So this type of success, I think nowadays more and more people can achieve them because there are a lot of straight A students. Then after your academic success, the natural follow-up is career success, when we come out to work or to train ourselves to be successful in life. Means we develop certain interests in life. So your career, not necessarily work, not necessarily academic. It can also be in sports or in whatever field that you are good at. Then of course, with career success, the natural consequence is financial freedom to make us feel secure in life so that we need not work for money. We can develop investment and have money work for us. So financial freedom is not easy, but many people have made it. Nowadays, our society, because of new technology, a lot of greenfield, so there are more scope for success. Sometimes you can just become famous and successful through the YouTube by taking some video and doing some strange thing, like the Korean Gangnam style. And also nowadays a lot of young kids and child, they took some video of them, they become very famous. In Mandarin, it's called Wang Hong. Then they develop a lot of what they call financial success. Then you can also make it in life if you are determined, if you strive on with the understanding and heedfulness. Then you can develop a very good, successful materialistic career that can bring about a lot of financial freedom to make you feel secure in life. You don't have to worry about money. That is the ultimate aim, which means technically you don't have to work. So that will bring us to the fourth aspect of life, early retirement. If you don't have to work, you can retire, isn't it? So early retirement to do the things that we want to do or we like to do. So this is very important. Early retirement is something a lot of working people are looking forward to have, but not everybody can achieve it because you need to have what we call financial stability, or you must have financial freedom to develop this option to have early retirement. Unless you are a government servant, then you can opt for early retirement. Then having an understanding, good and happy family unit, leading to relationship success. This is the last aspect of the materialistic success. Is after you can afford to retire early to do the things that you want to do in life, or you like to do in life, you can also make sure that you have a good family unit that is full of understanding, harmony, unity, and all these things. So having an understanding, harmonious and happy family unit is not easy, leading to relationship success. You can be successful in all of your relationship with your loved ones, with your neighbor, with your colleague, with people whom you come to interact with. Means you have Dhamma, you have wisdom, you can have relationship success, means you can be a blessing to all. So the above four types of success before the relationship success can be realized by most people who are determined and hardworking. But the fifth one is more difficult, means relationship success. More difficult to achieve because it needs some form of wisdom and understanding. Let us say you are able to achieve all of the above materialistic success, all the five. But is your life really complete? And are you really happy and safe? What happens when you are confronted with the first noble truth, realities of life and existence? The Buddha said, when you confront them without the requisite wisdom, you will be afflicted and suffering will be the result, as explained earlier on. Hence, one still needs to cultivate the requisite spiritual understanding to complement one's life. Otherwise, the first noble truth of life's reality can still afflict you. So spiritual success is very important. Then in conclusion, my present life in this world was indeed rather blessed. For I not only excel in my academic field, I also reached the pinnacle of my civil engineering career line. I was able to achieve my financial freedom fairly early too. And this has enabled me to retire officially from my engineering career life some 12 plus years ago. So at that time, when I delivered this talk, was 8 years ago. So you plus 8 is about 20 plus years ago. And I retired at the age of 46 plus. Well, now I'm already 66 plus, going to 67. To do the things that I love to do, like sharing the Dhamma and helping people. I was also blessed with a very good family unit with a lot of love and understanding among ourselves. Our relationship with all our loved ones, friends, colleagues are very cordial and good too. Last but not least, I was also blessed with a fairly good past that had enabled me to have the requisite spiritual understanding to complement my materialistic success in life. Over the last 24 plus, you add 8, will be 32 years plus since 1989. I was able to make use of my spiritual understanding and my own personal success in life management to help many people who had affinity with my nature, with this nature of mine, to cope with their life problem. With this, I will end my today's seminar paper. or talk. Thank you so much for your patience and kind attention. So this talk was delivered on the, I think, second day, 11th of August 2013. So that will cover the seminar paper. So I will stop the sharing so that you can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation, okay? I will off the light and you can start your awareness-based meditation to train your mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be with the moment, to realize your true mind, your silent mind. Your true mind is your silent mind, which is also the meditative mind. So that is what meditation is all about, to be mindful, to be aware, leading to heedfulness. Okay, so I will set the time, 45 minutes. Yeah? You just relax body and mind, silent everything, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then for those who already understand the meditation, you can develop the fourth support, which is trust. Trust means don't do anything. Trust your nature to do. You just silent everything, relax, maintain awareness, stay at the heart area, and let your awareness nature detect the gateway. Then do not interfere. Just let it move, let it manifest, and you will understand. Means the mind, the thought, the mundane mind is not interfering with the doing or meditation. It just on its own, through trust, that nature meditate on its own. And that is the most beautiful training. And you can do that when nature rejoices you with you. Then you will understand what trust is. When there is no thought involved, no interference from the mundane mind, that nature is so beautiful. It just relaxes and aware. It's always with the moment, moment to moment, silent, tranquil, still, heedful, to be aware, to fully live life. Okay, now you can continue your meditation. So I will continue by summarizing for you what we have gone through. So this is a very good seminar paper for you to understand the essential teachings of the Buddha. How this teaching can enable you to understand the broad spectrum of life. And through this understanding of life, you will know how to live life. You will know how to plan your life. That's all success in life. Via meditation, following the Dhamma is very important. And we have also introduced to you the purpose of this seminar, because the international organizers, they see the importance of this type of important, rather important understanding. If they don't develop this, Buddhists or cultivators of the Dhamma may not be able to have this understanding. So this seminar paper is to get people who are good in Dhamma to share their experiences of their understanding of the Dhamma, leading to understanding of life and success in life and meditation. So the International Seminar on Life Management with Meditation Following the Dhamma Way, sharing your experience and success is very important. And basically I've summarized all of the essential teachings of Lord Buddha, make it very simple so that it can be easily understood. Then as per the beginning, I think what I spoke is very important. I said today's seminar topic is experiences and success in life management via benefits of meditation following the Dhamma way. And this is a very important topic for us all to understand. Because if you want to realize the highest human potential, such as seminal, can be of great benefit. So to understand this topic can unfold the highest human potential means we have this potential to become enlightened, to develop the great wisdom to enable us to understand life, thereby enabling us to plan our life and live life to the fullest. And such a seminar can be of great benefit for us all to develop the understanding of life so that we can all cope with the great intricacy and challenges of life. This is very true. Life is not easy. So these great intricacies and challenges of life that are much needed nowadays is not easy to develop. Especially so in our modern society where everything is moving at such a fast pace and life can be very stressful, hectic, demanding, and at times highly competitive, provocative, and similarly harsh. And human suffering are very real and is happening almost everywhere, even in the midst of our younger generation. Then coupled with the pandemic nowadays, I think it really is a challenge for us to have the understanding to accept all this reality and move on with life with understanding. It's not easy. A lot of people can't cope with the new normal of what is happening in life. So human suffering, human misery, when things don't go your way, is a reality that we need to cope with and develop understanding. And to confront life is not easy because we not only have to worry about our food and shelter, the three meals, we also have to go through all the first number two of reality, confronting birth, old age, sickness and death. And as we move on into life, into our academic life, our career, our existential duties, we need to actually understand many things for us to be really successful in life. And most important thing is to understand life, understanding who we are, why we are, and what are we capable of, and our highest potential. Then understanding the two aspects of mind. But through the Buddha's teaching, he summarized to us all of life, both the mundane and the super mundane. So this is something that is very beautiful and very difficult to come by. That's why I share inside the seminar paper, I say, to be successful in life, we need to understand what life is. Otherwise, we do not know how to live life. As Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate and blessed because of the great wisdom and enlightenment of Lord Buddha. So the Buddha is so unique and wise. Because of that, he was able to summarize to us all of his understanding, both mundane and supramundane aspect, into just four number two, which became the essence of his great teaching. That's why this four number two, they are the secret of life. And when you understand the secret of life, you understand clearly what life is. Then we can move on. We can plan. We can do the thing that we need to do. We can be a blessing to all. We will determine to be heedful. We will be very mindful, aware, so as not to be heedless. Then we develop all this right view, right understanding, to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our understanding, and to transform ourselves, to develop wisdom, virtue, and understanding, So all this is part and parcel of learning the Dhamma, the meditation as taught by the Buddha and the Buddhist teachings. And to confront the reality of life and existence, the first noble truth reality, is not easy. And how do we train our mind? How do we develop the inner peace leading to inner well-being and the clarity of mind? And to realize our silent mind, our true mind, the meditative mind, so that we can be heedful, we can be aware, so that we can understand what is going on in life. Then we see the importance of being heedful, importance of present moment awareness, mindfulness or sati. That's why the Buddha's teaching emphasizes on sati, to train ourselves to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to meditate, leading to heedfulness. Without heedfulness, we cannot be mindful, we cannot be vigilant. So all this are shared there. Then the benefits of meditation, they are all shared. So learning the Dhamma, developing the meditation can actually help you understand life and improve your potential to realize your highest human potential as a human being, to really live life with joy, with inner peace, with understanding, and live the heedful life and the noble life. Then developing understanding of the reality of life and existence, the present moment awareness. So all this we have control. Then we understand the reality behind existence. Then we know how to live life. Then we summarize how life can be understood. Basically, life is existence. To live life is to go through existence, and existence is time related. And the whole spectrum of time is the three period of time. Then we have already come to the conclusion of the three present moment, past, present, and future. Only the present moment is the only reality and the highest in life. Because past is already gone, no more reality. Future also yet to come. No more reality. That's why for those who don't know how to live life, they will dwell on the past and project their thought into the future to worry about life, to arise the misery and long thought that condition their suffering and misery. So this is not living life, because this one is heedless living. You are going into the unreality of life, using your mundane mind, your thinking mind, the thought process. When you project, it's not a reality. Then you go and worry. Worry for what? All of your fear, worry, anxiety will not help you solve your problem in life. It will make you worse. It will lower your immune system, develop very eerie or negative type of energy field within you because of all this wrong emotion and wrong thought. So all this understanding can be developed through the Buddhist teaching, through the meditation. And when you understand the beauty of the trained mind that is tranquil, peaceful, mindful and heedful, as opposed to an agitated mind that is heedless, full of emotion, every time having this fear, worry, and anxiety. You are too busy planning and worrying about life. So much so you never leave. So all these are beautiful understanding. As a cultivator, you will see all this very clearly. Then we will not get ourselves entangled in all this. Then we determine to be heedful, to be mindful, and we really train. And when we understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, when we understand our mind, we know how to live. Then we can accordingly plan our life and live the noble life, leading to all the success in life. We not only develop materialistic success, we also develop spiritual understanding to complement, so that we really have the complete understanding of both the mundane and super mundane type of success that we need to really understand life and live life. So this summarizes to us the beauty of these teachings of the Buddha. He called the Dhamma, which is truth, the beautiful truth that he has proclaimed and shared with the world based on his cultivation and perfection. So okay, with this, I will end my today's sharing. Then we will open up for meditation reporting based on what you have done. Just now, 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. If you have any questions, you can ask them.
Brother, maybe just do a bit of observation.
Yes, very good.
Especially in these times when everybody has to be, what to call it? I wouldn't use the word lockdown because it's
raining. Yeah.
I would say more like you're given the opportunity to stay at home. Then especially for us, it's a time to really be serious about our cultivation. And put more time to understand the Dhamma.
Ah, sadhu. Very good.
I'm very grateful, Brother, seriously, for having given me the opportunity to understand what you teach in the Buddha's teaching. Because I find that it really has helped me so much in my life.
Yes.
Especially in these times when you see things can become very chaotic.
Yeah.
And you are like bombarded with news from everywhere.
Correct.
It can be very depressing actually when you don't have the Dharma. And you feel that you're somehow, if you are not stable enough, you get drawn into all this chaos and your mind also become chaotic.
They have an influence on the human mind. That's why you call it human conditioning. It make you emotional. Then after listening to all the frightening news, the negative news, you also, without the Dhamma, you can easily be swayed. Then you react to it. You get angry. Then you also write something, or sometimes you also develop that type of fear, the worry, that then everything also you dare not try. Then the person who promote vaccine, he tell you to go for vaccine. You say, I read somewhere. Then that guy say this, and that guy is a doctor. So all this create unnecessary fear. That's why I said, be careful when you share certain type of news. If it's not useful, not informative, not conducive, please refrain from sharing if you are not sure. But if it's something useful and helpful, then maybe you share in a very tactful way so that people can understand. Otherwise, it become like one-sided thing. Then like you come to understand, without the Dhamma, you cannot filter, you don't know what happened, then you will be drawn. And most people are drawn and become affected. That's why even my daughter shared with me just now, one of his classmates got two children in Singapore. She said Singapore is much better than it. But she said she cannot take it already. She must three children. He said he must take the three children to the condo swimming pool to have a swim, to relax. So for 2 hours she was there, she felt much better. So a lot of people cannot take it. For us, we have the Dhamma, that's why we can allow ourselves to have the understanding. We can accord and flow, and we can actually endure and move on. because we understand this is a reality, condition like that, things like that. It's a pandemic, and your life, you choose how you want to live it. If you don't value your life, you want to expose yourself, it's your choice. So all this understanding can help us, but not everybody has the luxury of the Dhamma. That's why you also come to know PG, which is very good. You are very grateful for the teaching, for the understanding. And he has helped you a lot in this life, which is very true. Not only your life, your career too. And the way you understand it has helped you to manage your interaction with people. The way you develop your ability to understand the world, society, your career life, your relationship with fellow human beings, living beings, and even the environment, everything. So all these are very beautiful understanding that we cannot learn without the Dhamma. And the Dhamma is so complete, so comprehensive, and it's so beautiful. And it can really let us understand completely what life is with clarity of who we are, what we are, and what we are capable of. And we can realize our highest human potential to become an enlightened being that has the wisdom, the virtue, and the understanding to understand life so beautifully and to live the noble life of an enlightened being. So all these are very beautiful. So continue, PJ Sadhu.
Okay. Another thing I observe is also the community and the country's consciousness.
Ah, yes.
You know, like Malaysia, we have so many jokers around, and much as we say that, oh, don't get involved, but somehow we still get drawn to it.
We had
our laughs, but at the same time, we can also feel our frustration and everything arise in it.
Yes.
So in these times, like sometimes we see a lot of, especially all the WhatsApp messages and all that. Then sometimes when we want to reply, then I ask myself, is that useful?
Yeah,
very important. So, yes.
Making a remark like this, and a lot of time I tell myself, refrain from doing all this.
Yeah.
What we learn the Dharma for.
Correct.
Aware of our speech, our actions, and our thoughts.
Yes.
If we cannot even learn this simple thing, then I think even the basic of Dharma is not being learned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very true. Yeah.
Another thing is Pratio. like asking myself.
Yeah.
Learning the Dharma for so long.
Yeah.
What is, because nowadays I do my what do you call that? My chanting.
Religious routine. Religious routine.
And I do my Bodhisattva vow.
Yes.
After doing the Bodhisattva vows, I ask myself, What is preventing me from moving forward?
Yeah, very important inquiry.
I think I come up with a few things. Firstly, is conditioning from young.
Yeah,
that is so important, Bratio.
Correct. Yes.
And I know that two very simple or three very simple things that is very much in my life.
Yeah.
First thing. Trust, Pratio.
Yes.
I do not have trust in a lot of things.
Correct.
Especially people. Okay, Pratio? Lessons in life teach me not to trust people easily.
Yes.
Okay? Another thing is being humbled.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
I unfortunately see being humbled as a weakness.
Yeah.
I have been bullied too many times.
Right, because you have shared all this before.
I feel that this is a stumbling block when it comes to learning the Dharma.
The teaching, yes.
Yes. Because if you don't have trust, you cannot even be humble. How on earth Am I going to learn the Dharma?
Yes, very true. Very true.
Rachel, what do you think about this?
Very good. Sadhu, you brought up a very good topic. So I will share this. Sadhu to your PG. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. So for PG, over the years, she has been coming to the Dharma class. I remember in the early years, she has been telling me, he said, Brother Theo, you don't believe. He said, last time, the moment you mentioned the word karma, I will turn and I will disappear. But strangely, in my class, you say you don't know what happened. Somehow you stay. Then when you start to understand all those things, then you realize your early days conditioning, all this, what they call mental perception of things or views of things, they are very negative. They are a hindrance to learning Dhamma. So this is what the Buddha called karmic obstruction from the past. Because in the past, through heedless living, through wrong view, associating with wrong people, you develop all this. Then it actually came in and it hinders you. That's why you will look at things like the normal human being. Being humble is like a weakness. Because you don't know the beauty of humility, leading a humble life, a simple life, having humility. When you have the Dhamma, these are virtue, these are not weakness. But because of the coming obstruction, because human being is based on logic, based on what we call materialistic approach to things. So if you are humble, it like reflect that you are weak. You don't have that character to make you forceful, impactful, to make you strong so that you are not bullied, you are not timid. And this karma thing is because of the conditioning. You don't like to listen. You cannot even spend much time on it. So all these are the conditioning from the past. These are what we call karmic obstruction. But for you, you also have your good karmic affinity with Triple Gem, with certain people, with certain cultivator like Kayamita, My Nature, and all those things. That somehow you can actually have the causes and conditions to listen, to continue to attend. And after you continue to attend, you listen, you on your own came to the realization because you inquire. This is so beautiful, so important. Then you express your gratitude that you have received all these beautiful teachings because of that condition and affinity. Then you go all out to develop this understanding. That's why this vow, the Bodhisattva vow, and your religious routine understanding will transform you as a human being. So that in future, whenever you arise, all this right view, right understanding will be there. Then with the Bodhima strongly and firmly planted, you will not get lost again. You will not be conditioned and influenced by those wrong view, Adama, or what we call deviant views of other teachings or religion. So all this is part and parcel of cultivation. When you understand being heedless is dangerous, having wrong view and wrong understanding is dangerous, then you vow not to repeat all this. You ask for forgiveness, then you vow to follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate, to perfect yourself. Then you develop pure aspiration, wish, by invoking power of merits. So all this understanding is what cultivation is all about. And the Bodhisattva way is a very important and complete way of cultivation that is very, very comprehensive and Taro, because it involves cultivating the Dhamma in life itself over a long period of birth and death. That's why when we take the vow, it prepares us to continuously come back to perform this vow, to fulfill this vow, to develop all this understanding and perfection to become Sammasambuddha. So there is a lot of benefit, synergy, and understanding involved. Then after that, every coming is so meaningful, so beautiful, because life can be really wonderful when you have the Dhamma, when you have all this understanding. So this is a very important turning point for you, BJ, because when you understand this, you will look at life differently. Then you will understand how you become like that. Then through your own understanding and observation, you also understand why other people are like that. Like you mentioned about our country consciousness, our collective nations, country consciousness, and also how our people with such diverse race and religion and religious belief, their thinking are so diverse. Their conditioning, the collective consciousness is very diverse. In fact, today I had a discussion with my daughter. That's why finally we had this understanding, which is very good conclusion, which I want to share with you all. I told her the understanding is we must understand the collective consciousness has evolved to become like that. Yeah, whatever that happened, karma is behind. We are born of karma, add to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this is the reality. But not everything is just karma, karma, karma. Because there is such thing as existence, life within the existential world. So we have to understand both aspects. It doesn't mean that when we have the Dhamma, we know everything is not real. He know you, he know me. Then everything is karmically conditioned. It has evolved and become what it is. Yes, that is the reality. But then we have to act. There is such thing as life. The individual has to act. And there is such thing as how we can contribute, like what you came to understand. Every action you want to do, is it conducive? Is it helpful? Does it bring about avoidance of negativity, evil, unnecessary fear and all those things? If it's for the good of the many, if it doesn't hurt others and doesn't hurt yourself, and if it's good advice, you need to share, share. You can bring about joy, happiness, yes. Otherwise, avoid. So through all this understanding or Dhamma cultivation, we develop wholesomeness so that as an individual, we contribute positively, like what we did as Dhamma friends. After every session, we share merits, we transfer merits, then we invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for our nation to turn around. So that we have the righteous government, the righteous king and all those things that can bring about virtue, wholesomeness and benefits for our country. So this is the most virtuous. That's why the Buddha also recommend us to chant Imina Punyam Kamina. Oh sorry, Deo Vasatukalina. So that one is very important. Then the imina is for your own aspiration to avoid the foolish, meet out with the wise, so that enlightenment can be realized in the here and the now. So all these are very important understanding. So we have to understand there is such thing as life. We need to act. We need to move. of course, initially we don't stir our mind and react. We accept the reality first. And then through our understanding, we follow Noble Eightfold Path with right view, condition our right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then we arise constantly the four right effort to purify. Then we develop heedfulness to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to stabilize our understanding. Then we make aspiration vow to walk the Bodhisattva way, to perfect ourselves so that we can be a blessing to all. So all these are Dhamma, very beautiful, very important understanding. So with this understanding, it's like what Jay Krishnamurti say, for the society to change, listen to this, the individual must change. Why did he say that? Because the individual is very important. The collective consciousness, the country consciousness, is a summation of all the beings that exist within the country. So if the individual change, the collective will change. Initially, of course, it's not easy. But each and everyone must play our role. That's why when we have the Dhamma, we become different. We contribute more positively. We avoid heedless behavior. We avoid negativity of karmic consciousness. The collective energy will be purified, even though depending on the numbers. Yeah. But this number will grow when we have influence on others. That's why we need to have real cultivator who has that nature, that understanding, that beautiful mind state to actually bring forth understanding. That's why our Dhamma sharing is very important. Our website is very important. And the collective understanding that will continuously evolve and help the collective consciousness. But as we change, we benefit people around us. We radiate that type of beautiful energy that is conducive for the environment, for society, for good relationship and all these things. And whomever we encounter or have relationship with, and sometimes when we radiate this metta, this love, this pure wish, this aspiration, we fulfill our vows. We introduce a lot of positive vibes into the totality of consciousness. And this is what life is all about. It doesn't mean we don't care, because anicchang dukkhang anatta he no you he no me, that everybody go to the other extreme, which is not the intent of the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha's teaching is to understand the Dhamma and understand life so that you can live, so that you can have the understanding of both the mundane and the supramundane, where there is such thing as life, existence. And nature has its nature's law to govern life and existence. We have to abide, we have to accord and flow, yes. But then we can live. Because with this understanding, we can manifest. That's why the Buddha, the great beings, the Bodhisattvas, they can come and continue with their work and become beautiful beings. So this is how society can transform, environment can transform, civilization can transform. And this one demands a lot of understanding. That's why you will come to understand, like what you are going through now, that this teaching is very unique, very beautiful, very rare, not easy to come by. And without this teaching, this understanding, you can never understand life. And when you never understand life, you will become miserable. Life will become difficult to go through, just like what you came to understand. Especially during time of crisis, pandemic like now, it's not easy to develop understanding, composure of mind, to be calm, to be peaceful, to encounter a situation with understanding. when we do not react to life, when we can accept the reality of the moment and move and contribute towards life or society and the environment and the evolution of consciousness and civilization, then we become beautiful beings. We become like all those great beings, bodhisattvas, who can really be a blessing to all. That's why the Buddha, the great beings, they came for the living beings. Out of love and compassion, they continue to arise to fulfill their vow, to perfect themselves, and to continuously contribute. So when you understand all this, you will have deep joy, gratitude, faith and understanding. Then you will decide to go this way. Because this way is so unique, so beautiful, so rare in its understanding, and it can give rise to such beautiful understanding of life, existence, and from there you can really become very different. Then there is a meaning and purpose in life. Then existence becomes wonderful, meaningful. Then you can really live life to the fullest, to experience all the wonders and beauties of life. Every moment is so pristine. You can be with the moment in pure awareness, to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life every moment and every instant. It is so peaceful, so tranquil, so still, despite what happened within society, within civilization or the world. The world is still the world. When you sleep, you sleep. When you rest, you rest. When you want to enjoy, live life, you live. That's why all this understanding is there. I still watch TV. Sometimes certain TV program you can learn a lot. You can update yourself. And if you look at a TV program, some are really miserable. You can actually listen to CGTN, CNN, and even all the media. Sometimes certain countries, like African country, Middle Eastern country, and even in the Philippines and all those things. In fact, this pandemic has caused a lot of disruption to their life, havoc, and a lot of them are affected. Many are out of job. So at least now with the vaccine, you see many countries and nations turning around, having like going back to the new normal. So all this has given hope to society. Then hopefully all the government start to learn the importance of vaccination. That's why now everybody is speeding up their vaccination, and every country is trying to help out and play their role, especially China, trying to give their vaccine to as many countries, especially the poor countries, as possible. So these are real beneficial actions that nation can take. You have good government, you have good governance and understanding, they will do all this, as opposed to those governments that are very selfish, full of what they call ulterior motive, and look at all the benefits and want to dominate over other people and other things. You can see the big difference. The actions are not sincere, not based on understanding. They actually create more disruption. And through experience, civilization, and documented facts and figures, we have witnessed all this. And nowadays, with the social media moving so fast, it's not easy like the past to actually we call it what the English way, hoodwink people or to cheat and lie to people. It's not so easy. The propaganda war is still there, but is less likely to happen at the scale where it used to be. It's like in the Cantonese say, or the Mandarin say, 一手遮天, 一手遮天. And no longer, you know, nowadays social media is faster than you. The opinion, the comment, the views that come out, they are so fast. So now more and more people are more daring, willing to speak out. And the world is evolving and learning. Civilization need to evolve. And many things has turned quite positive. You look at green energy, the push, the movement towards that direction is so strong nowadays. And even World Environmental Day yesterday, China was very happy that day. I think Pakistan is holding an international seminar or conference on that to gather all the governments to actually celebrate World Environment Day. And we are looking at how country is starting to go and change things, change the way they do their industrialization. They are aiming for zero carbon by the year 2030 or latest 2060. In fact, many European Union countries, now America has come back with Biden. Last time Trump, he left. And China is pushing hard. And if we really save the environment, we save the human race. Because all this global warming, pollution, environmental pollution, they take a toll on our collective planetary consciousness. It makes the planet stressful. That's why we have pandemic, we have nature disaster, everything happening is because the way we go about polluting the environment and living the type of heedless way of living life is so impactful and tremendously impacting the collective consciousness of our planet. So we need more and more of this fuel. Even recycling help a lot. So activity like all this good setup, like Shiji or those NGO, they're really, genuine NGO who contribute. Then cultivators, spiritual practitioners. The more important is religion must play a great role in stabilizing all this understanding, not to create more division and misunderstanding, and finally result in all the negativity of consciousness. So all this, my nature can feel there is a positive force moving, but slow, not fast enough. But it is showing a good sign of future progress or better environmental behavior. And hopefully as we evolve and become more and more civilized, more and more virtuous and wholesome with the understanding, our planet, the collective consciousness, can also evolve and turn this world around. So everyone, we have to contribute. The individual must change for the collective to change. So don't worry about what people do, what people say. We must cultivate. We must perfect ourselves, develop the wisdom, and make sure we follow Noble Eightfold Path. Right view, leading the right thought, right speed, right action, like what you came to understand, PG, which is very good. So this is cultivation. This is understanding. Hopefully this will explain what you want and it will help other Kayamitas too. PG, back to you.
Yeah, Baratil, thank you so much for your explanation. I totally agree that each individual must change, because if we do not change, because somehow I Before I come to the Buddhist teaching, I also are involved in other things.
Uh-huh.
And consciousness and energy is something that I have always been quite familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are doing good for the world, the vibrations will be very different.
Yes, very conducive, very soothing. And you will know, and there is a lot of joy, a lot of peace, a lot of stillness, tranquility. Mm. Whereas the one that is restless, heedless, a lot of emotion evolve, a lot of negativity of emotion. So all this, you can see the big difference. And this negativity or emotion trigger of fear, worry, anxiety, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. All these are negative emotions with the evil roots. And these evil roots are very detrimental towards world peace, towards environmental, what they call renewal of positive vibes and energy. So you will have this understanding once you go into the cultivation. Then you can feel the totality of consciousness, the vibration around. That's why when I travel, I can feel. I go New Zealand, I can feel. I go Australia, I can feel. I cross over to Singapore, I also can feel. The consciousness are different, the two countries. Then that time when we were in Malaysia, of course. Malaysia, that time, the consciousness was really not so good. But later on, it improved. It has been improving. But a lot more can be done. Because we really need to have that understanding, the patience, to introduce all these conditions like our chanting, Devo, Vasata, Kalina. All this will take its effect, but slow and steady. Then slowly, it will bring about the desired appropriate result. That's why we can see why all this election has been moving this way. It's like something is up there doing the work, meant to be will be. And a lot of things is like blessing in disguise. At that moment when it happened, we think, you're sailor or going back to square one. No, it happened for a reason. Without this, maybe that consciousness cannot evolve. But because of this, now it's turning. Now people see you must have a good government to have a good nation, to have a good country consciousness, planetary consciousness. Otherwise, you create a lot of misery. People out of job, people not having the ability to survive and meet their whatever we call it, their basic need to live life, to survive. And this is the duty of government, eradication of poverty, and do whatever they can to help the rakyat society. So all this, when we have the teachings, the Dhamma, we have this understanding, we can help move the consciousness in that direction. That's either the individual must change for the collective to change. Then what we do for the collective, slow but steady, it will come to be. So very true, PJ, sadhu to you.
Ratio, another thing is, yes. I think in these difficult times, it also has brought up the good in many people.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of people personally and in groups, on their own NGOs, a lot of people come out. Because they are driven to do things because they can see that the government system is not working well.
Right.
And I'm very happy to see that you know, a lot of people put aside their differences. They come together. It's sometimes it's so good to see that.
Because there are a lot of people who actually pity those who cannot survive. They really pick out their own money, raise fund, and send all this food to them. Yeah. They have a lot. There are a lot. Even Sisi also see a lot of this. And in PJKL slang, a lot of people are doing this. They're giving free food and all this thing. So as a nation, people start to see. Then when they compare other country, they see the big difference of a good government and a not so efficient or good government. So all this is for us to learn. That's why with sincerity, with virtue, with right view and right understanding, if the government is virtuous, righteous, and sincere, then society will benefit, the country will benefit, the people will benefit. So it's the leaders that must have the ethics and all those things, that have the understanding not to be selfish, not to be motivated by selfishness and wrong view and all those things. And so all these are very beautiful. Yeah, I fully agree, PJ. Yes, I also saw a lot of these people, witnessed a lot of this on the media, social media especially. Then even on the TV, you start to see them. Then the frontline people, how they sacrifice, how they really willing to help out, despite what happened, like you say, the failure of the government machinery and all those things, because conflicting instruction, you turn here and there, and like nobody is really knowing what is going on, and a lot of the instruction are like haphazard. So when you have good leaders, when you have committed leaders, then the government machinery becomes very efficient. The thing flow very well, and it is very beneficial to the rakyat and the people. And you can see this happening in our society. Then we can witness it also in other society. That's why this is a very good pandemic, which is a wake-up call for the world as a whole, for our planet to learn. Because without all this disaster, pandemic, we never learn. So at least this pandemic happened at the right time, where the progress of online e-commerce has actually taken off. Then we also benefited because we have internet technology online and all those things. Otherwise, Zoom video are not possible. Then we see the importance of technology to integrate to fight pandemic. Then the advent of vaccine understanding. Last time, vaccine take at least 6 to 7 years with all the trial to come out. Now, within 1 year or less, they come out with the vaccine. And of course, they seek what they call quick approval under emergency use and all that. But at least it's doing its job. So vaccine is really something very useful, even though there's a lot of controversy about the type of vaccine, traditional and the new mRNA vaccine and all those things. Don't worry about it. Let the situation demands actually evolve. That's what learning is all about. That's what civilization evolve, how civilization evolve and progress. So all this we are witnessing. That's why I said we are very blessed, very lucky, because we are in the golden era to witness all this happening. Actually, in one's lifetime, you may not have the condition to witness all this. Like my parents, they passed away before this pandemic. You can say it's their good blessing or what, I don't know, but they didn't get to witness all this. So for me, I came during the transition with all the good conditions. Actually, 60 over years of life, 66 plus, my life is very enriching, very beautiful, and I had a lot of joy that that nature, karmic nature and this racial nature had this understanding to come during this period and to have such understanding to see and witness all this. And it's so beautiful. To me, it's so beautiful, so wonderful. That's why life can really be wonderful and amazing, like what the Heart Sutta said. True emptiness is wonderful or wondrous existence. So all this are unfolding, we are witnessing, and we can really get to experience all of the progress in civilization, technology, information technology, in the field of innovation, digital banking, e-commerce, online, e-commerce, and many other things are happening, and they are moving so fast. Actually, it's no longer year to year, it's month to month, everything is changing. You visit certain countries like China, in fact, the city are changing and evolving so fast, and things are moving ahead so fast. That's why technology, high-speed train. Then later on, when the pandemic is contained, I tell you, the airline industry will evolve and become different again. We will learn a lot of new things, and we will do things in a very different way. That's why the new normal will become different. And now, after going through all the lockdown and all those problems, then when they start to slowly open up and release, people feel the joy. I saw it in the American video, the European, especially UK. Oh, the people really had that joy. But now they can go back to like normalcy, having a cup of coffee, drink, dine in and all those things. No need to be panicky like last time, wearing masks and all those things. Then, of course, interstate travel has started to take place. But Indonesian, I think, has not really opened up. That one still need to take a while. Maybe hopefully before the end of the year, many of these can be streamlined and they will slowly open up. Well, the rate of vaccine, they realize, is fundamental to the opening up. So everybody is pushing. Our country also pushing. Unless you get pressure, you will not push. That's why the social media and the people like PGA say, more and more people are willing to voice out, come out with petition and force the government to move. Because all this while they did it heavily on the vaccine. So now, all of a sudden, I saw a lot of my year one, the classmates all getting appointment for the vaccine dose. So I received a lot of very positive news on appointment of vaccines. My one also will be coming this month. To let you all know earlier, 17th of June, Thursday, class cancer. Where I and my wife going for vaccination. There are some of my classmates, I think they are going within this week and next week, I think. Then my after next week it will be mine. So Thursday class will be cancelled because that day is vaccination day for me and my wife. So we better have a day rest. So take note. Okay, PJ, salute to you. Back to you.
Brother, since it's almost 6 o'clock, I'd like to end with something that I have been looking a lot at YouTube's, and one of them is the memoirs of Master Xuan Hua.
Yes.
He's a very interesting person, but not an easy teacher.
Yeah.
I don't think many of us will be able to follow him.
Yeah, because he's my refuge teacher. My whole family refuge teacher. I like him a lot because I have affinity with him and I learn a lot from him.
He's a very sincere person. His way of teaching is not that
conventional. Not conventional.
Yeah. according to one
his
of
vow is very strong. His vow is very strong.
Not until all my disciples become Sammasambuddha will he become a Buddha.
Yeah.
That's why when you want to become his disciple,
he said,
you must
please cultivate diligently. He said, otherwise you drag me along.
You know, I want to just want to recount one incident where a foreign disciple mentioned about this incident. Whereby he went to tell Master Shen Hua that he decided to become a bhikkhu. The teacher was so happy to receive him. Come. Or whatever. But when he tell the Master Shen Hua that I will follow you, Master Shen Hua replied to him, don't be stupid. Yeah. Don't follow me. Follow wisdom. To him is follow wisdom, because he doesn't want you to just follow him.
The teachers are more
important than him. He is so humble, Brajo. He is so humble to him that he is not important. He is just the conduit to bring the teaching to the people. That's why he can have so many good students who see the importance of the teachings and
are
so diligent about it. They first started off in the LA and all that, it was so quite difficult for them.
From Hong Kong over, he was attacked by Mara and other things. A lot of things happened and he has to endure a lot of things. They tried to kill him, poison him and all those things. And he, because of his psychic or somebody, he managed to actually redirect the poison to certain part of his body, then he got it clear later on. You can read his biography, it's all written there. And I was very lucky because when I was a student in the second year engineering in MU, I received his biography through the Buddhist Society. Then after that, I read, and I knew this is the teacher. Then on two occasions, he came when I was an undergraduate. I attended both. I remember it's 1976 and 1978, I think. And later on, when I graduated, he came again. That time is the time I determined to compensate for all the things that I wanted to do, but I was not having the condition to do because I didn't have the means. At that time, I was not working yet. And when I came to know that he's coming again, I think in the year 1986 or 87, that time I graduated 79, I worked for 7 years. I really go all out to make the offering, the donation, and I went and did all the recording, and I follow him all around, and I have great affinity with him. Yeah, one of his kapia came to me and gave me the book Surangama Sutta. That's how I came to know. Then later on, everything fall into place, and my whole family take refuge. It's meant to be. And a lot of my other teacher or what they know, I would take refuge under anybody. They seem to know. They never even want to ask or what they know. I got my way, my own understanding, and my thing is all already set. That's why one of the teachers say I had a very heavy mouth. I came in with a very heavy mouth. The moment she mentioned that, I knew what that mouth was. So all these are meant to be. So beautiful, so now you start to get to read more and more about him. He is a very unorthodox kind of teacher. Be very fierce, but his teaching is very good.
His teaching is very good.
Yes,
unconventional, but very good.
Yes,
Bratio, I would like to say I have a very deep gratitude to all the great beings, all the great teachers, Brother Teo included, for bringing us to where we are now. May all our aspirations be realized.
Pure and good aspiration be realized as soon as possible. No problem. Because when you have the faith and the sincerity, then when you make this aspiration, it will unfold. It will become part of nature's law. So all this, it will happen. Don't worry. In fact, at a few occasions, one of them is I remember at a retreat. There was condition, and I sent my pure wish for all Kayamita who has the condition to receive them at that time. And that will help a lot of cultivator, including the non-humans up there, the devas and all those things. Because they were conditioned and everything mesh and fall into place, and that nature sent out that pure wish. Of course, silently, from my nature, it come out. Yeah, I saw the condition and it manifests. It tie up with Kuan Yin and Jun Ti, Pusa, and all those things. Of course, Virochana also, their nature there, very beautiful. That's why that place is very unique. Sadhu, very good, PJ. Thank you. Anything else?
There are lots of things that we may not understand, but in hindsight, of course, we'll see a lot of things. like what I'm doing now. Meant to work this way, like, Brother Teo. Things in my life will point to this way. Things that I do not do or whatever. Your Brother Teo, last time, another thing I forgot to say, about things that I would not do. I would not bow, Brother Teo.
You told me before. You can never.
I would not bow. But now I'm doing all the bowing.
That time your coming obstruction very strong. The ego.
The ego is something I must really take care and dissect it well, Brother Teo. Is so strong. Unfortunately. over the years it become more terrible. But hopefully with the understanding that I'm having now, I can overcome all this defilement.
Because with your understanding, you have become so different. Last time, you got a type of character. You got this style of character. Cannot like
quite uncompromising.
Very uncompromising one. Beside take jay to lue. Because you're very stubborn one.
Sorry, Brother. Which is quite true.
I saw it once when we were on the spiritual trip. You remember which one?
Yes, I know. And Brad Teo, the talk that you give, I know was for me because I was so angry at that time. Teaching is for me.
You just burst out and tell off that Kayamita until that Kayamita was so quiet. Dare not say anything.
No, it's because of the circumstances that
correct.
I was very wrong to do that because first thing is so heedless I could have said in a better way. Course I let the anger get the better of me.
Correct.
So wrong, Brother Teo.
I share with my wife and one or two characters. You don't play a fool with PG. You kena that one, I tell you. But it was good. It was good.
This is a teaching to me. As the years goes, I can see how heedless I am.
You have changed so much.
I have to take care of all this. With this opportunity that is given to me, if I don't make use of this, I think it's very tough.
But you have a good army, luckily. And you have improved so much, changed so much.
Hopefully,
Thank you so much, Brad Teo. 刚才PG有share到的就是一个很好的一个 good point， 就是现在真的是很多的那种 message 啊，
yeah,
真的要很有 wisdom 的去
the individual and make you emotional. I have seen a lot of people become emotional. Then they end up in a chat group arguing.
你会发觉到有一些的那种有一部分的那种message 他们很喜欢 draw 这种 negativity 的那种 fear 他要去 draw 那种人的一种 tensions that's why 这个就是会 involve 到这整个的这个 conscious 的那种
That's why 因为我也有很多那种同学的
group 啊，我有也很那种 friends 的 group
哇，每一个
group 每都一直 input 很多的那种。
That's why this is also good training, good learning to test yourself, so that to see whether you have the inner awareness within to understand all this or not. Otherwise, you will become emotional too.You will be affected too. 很好啊。So, 这个是一个 like test that can be something that is beneficial for the cultivator to go through. Then 你就能够了解很多东西。Because
especially
the pandemic. Yeah.
怎样在现在这样乱的那种那种 environment 里面去 maintain 你的 silence 不要去 react
composure 你的 silence 你的 awareness 你的 understanding the sensitivity then you can see whether the unisoc manasikara 有现起来吗 like PC no she used the questioning of the Kalama Sutras.The Buddha asked, if I reply, if I make this decision, is it conducive for the wholesomeness or goodness of society and all? Otherwise, no point. That's why a lot of people, they just heedlessly forward. They didn't even check the fact. Sometimes they thought it is interesting. They thought people would say, wow, this person is very good.No, people look at you differently. You simply forward, I tell you, you get into trouble. Now fake news a lot can be caught and fined too. So be careful. Then what you share, make sure it's beneficial. Otherwise, try not to share. Like my daughter tell one of my family members, if you are not sure, better don't share. Because not sure means very likely fake news. So don't share. So people need to develop understanding. If you are not sure, then why you want to forward? You create unnecessary fear, anxiety, and panic. And all this, they deposit in their memory. Then they develop phobia. So we must be sensitive and we must have wholesomeness. Then we must have good understanding of the situation. Then when we share with understanding.But try not to unless there is condition. Continue.
Yeah. Oh, 因为我也想到以前 all the while 我们 Malaysia 的那种政治也是，哇，你看很多人一直 raise 他们的 voice， 一直 again， 一直跳，一直讲no hope 啦，怎样。But 我们还是过了整三十年。
Yeah.
No?然后我在想从以前的 previous 的那个ministry 全部每个都一直讲烂到今天吧，我们的 country 还是能够走到 today， you know， then 我有时候在想的我们
government machinery to a certain extent must give them credit， they have improved a lot actually， the system inside there has improved a lot， but the leaders are the problem. The leaders are giving contradicting instruction. and they don't know how to follow, who to follow. That's why you don't have the good leader. The machinery will be confused, in confusion. But we must give them credit. Mm-hmm. Even I go and do my passport, or I know it has improved a lot compared to the early days. They have learned to simplify many things. Yeah. But of course, there are certain departments still very bureaucratic, because they are so conditioned in the way they behave, do things. But to them, is they believe they hold the power. Then they want to like introduce all the bureaucracy, the red tape and all those things. So they ask you to submit a lot of things. Still a lot of paperwork, a lot of documentation, a lot of this thing when you submit, I don't think really they really look at it. So a lot of this thing we need to understand. Time is needed for them to develop the understanding and the evolution of consciousness to become better. But things has improved actually. The totality of consciousness is evolving, but not fast enough. So, okay, like you say, we still survive through despite all the doomsday prediction and all this thing. But it has its effect, its movement. So when we understand, actually there are a lot of good people who are playing their role quietly behind the scene, which a lot of people don't feel, don't understand, don't see. Hmm.
没有，这个就让我想到这种啊 movement， 这种 changes actually 就很像我们自己的 cultivation， 我们的 movement 是 step by step 慢慢的，然后去 evolve， 所以要有 patience 的去，
不能够急，不能够急
呀呀呀。That's why， 说如果我们能够很然后很 relaxed 的，有 understanding 的去 accept 的话 ，actually 我们。你就会看到它也是在慢慢的在 moving， 在
It's unfolding actually，
所以跟我们的 cultivation 是 exactly 是一
模一样。对。
Yeah， so okay， then 我的 sharing 就到这里了。
Okay， thank you， Sadhu， so we better end